All right, we got my big brother, Ilya Rashad Muhammad. He is a UFO scholar. He's on the research team of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's going to be in Washington, D.C. He's on his tour for his critically acclaimed documentary called Answered, and that is talking about the UFO phenomenon and the Nation of Islam. And a lot of people are saying, well, brother, you know, what does the Nation of Islam have to do with UFOs? Or what is it called now, Brother Ilya?
Well, now they start to call them UAP, Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena.
Oh, that's a different one. I've heard that one. Anomalous. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
They're changing the name every year or two now. Initially, about 2 years ago, they started using UAP,
yeah,
and it stood for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena.
Right.
But as of the last year, they've changed the aerial part to anomalous. Anomalous suggesting that it's somewhat problematic and hard to figure out.
Wow.
And while the world is still trying to figure out what these crafts are, we are letting the world know that we've had the answers before you were trying to figure them out.
You know what I thought about, Brother Ilya? I said, what if the Nation of Islam was sitting in the chambers in Capitol Hill for a congressional hearing and spitting this truth that we know about the UFOs? We would turn this whole world upside down, brother. What you think?
I don't think our Congress, as well-meaning as some of them may be, I don't think you'll find where Congress, be it the Senate or House, would ever really have us to share this type of information before them and the world. And the reason I say that is not to sound cynical, but history proves to us that Congress and the government at large has been the main objectors to hide, to keep us from telling this truth to the public.
Right.
So I don't think it's in their interest for the to let the public know the truth. In fact, Minister Farrakhan, for decades, has actually threatened Congress to subpoena him.
Right.
So that he can share this truth with them and the world. And I don't know how difficult it is for a black man in America to threaten Congress to subpoena him when,
yes,
when Congress and law enforcement subpoena black people for enough things far less than that.
That's right. So let's go back and talk about what the wheel is, the mothership, the mother plane. Mm. Let's talk about the craft that people are seeing now and talk about the origin of that.
I think the crafts that most people have been seeing, and when I say most people, I'm talking about hundreds of millions of people all over the globe since the 1940s, at least. The crafts that most of them have been seeing have been what we call baby planes or bomber planes, which are the smaller wheel-shaped planes that the enemy refers to as UFOs and UAPs. However, there are 1,500 of those smaller planes that stem from the much larger mother plane, which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad described as being half a mile by half a mile, literally a mile straight through,
right,
as he described. This huge masterpiece of mechanics that houses 1,500 of these smaller planes. Now, it's the mother plane that has been sighted and is frequently sighted, but not as much as the smaller ones that people see every minute, every day of the hour.
Right, right. And Brother Ilya, go back to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when they confiscated his material. The FBI confiscated it when they arrested him. Tell everybody about that.
In the early 1930s, before the whole UFO flying saucer phenomena even became a thing, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the early Muslims of the Nation of Islam were already being taught about the reality of this huge mother wheel. Mm. And they were being taught this reality directly from the man responsible for it all.
Mm.
That being Master Farid Muhammad, the teacher of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is in fulfillment of all of those prophecies of God as this Son of Man intervening in human affairs, it is this supreme being that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes the bold and audacious claim that he was taught by God in the person of Master Fathered Muhammad.
Right.
And he was shown these crafts directly by Master Fathered Muhammad. And so in the early 30s, the Nation of Islam was teaching about these crafts before the UFO phenomena ever became a thing. But then about 10 years later in the early 40s, 1942 to be exact, there was an encounter that is described as the first major encounter between these crafts and the U.S. Armed Forces. That took place over Los Angeles, February of 1942, in a historic event that they call the Battle of Los Angeles. And it was when these the U.S. Armed Forces tried to shoot down some of these wheels to no avail. And they recognized that there was a clearly superior power on scene, a superior military power that was eons technologically advanced, more technologically advanced than America.
Right.
So long story short, the U.S. government and military went on an all-out investigation only to find that those crafts were not the part of any foreign adversary like Japan or Germany. Instead, the only people on record even talking about those type of crafts was the Nation of Islam. This prompted the FBI under President Roosevelt to literally arrest the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the FBI questioned him literally about these wheels. That is the beginning of the UFO cover-up, because they literally incarcerated the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for about 5 years to keep this truth away from the public. That's the beginning of the UFO cover-up, and that's what the big secret is about. The Nation of Islam and the fact that God has come with proof of his presence and power.
Woo! Man, that's powerful, brother.
And that's a mouthful there.
And I love it. I love it because the government knows, and I heard the minister say it like this, the government knows the astronauts that go out in space, they know, but they can't talk. Mm-hmm. But I can. And that's telling you, before you can make mockery of me, you'll see these wheels in the major cities of America. And that's what we are looking at. Brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad is one of the foremost ufologists. This brother is on the research team of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if you've ever heard him preach, man, this brother is so excited about preaching the truth about these wheels. I get excited. And I saw you preach at Mas Maryam in Chicago, and you talked about the significance of Ezekiel 1:1.
Oh, man, you starting something now, Brother BJ.
Go ahead.
I'm already a student minister, so I tend to start preaching and stuff, taking all along, and now you're going to ask me one of these big questions. But let's try to make it succinctly. Ezekiel 1:1, in some religious scholarly traditions, particularly of the Jewish tradition, that is considered by some Jewish rabbis as the most dangerous scripture in the Bible.
Wow.
Why? You would have to ask them.
Right.
But
no, I said wow.
Yeah.
I said wow.
Yeah, but you would still have to ask them why they consider it the most dangerous, because here's a prophecy in Ezekiel 1:1 that foretells of the coming of God, where this prophet Ezekiel has visions of God's coming. And it uses some terminology about things like the 6th month and 7th day, all this type of stuff. And I can't quote it right before me. But needless to say, when we look at the calculations, when the religious scholars in recent years have attempted to calculate the dates of these prophecies, even though it has that funny language in the old English version,
yes,
the scholars of religion have calculated that time of Ezekiel's prophecy of the coming of God to be July of the 30th year.
Mm.
And the 30th year would be, of course, in this case, 1930.
Mm.
This corresponds directly with the coming of God in the person of Master Fathered Muhammad, who appeared in July of 1930
right.
to teach the and raise up the black man and woman in fulfillment of all those prophecies. Not just Ezekiel 1, but all those prophecies speak of God's coming and his intervention in the affairs of humanity, particularly in the affairs of his people who had become so lost and stolen and lost from their own. We know what the fulfillment of that prophecy is, and that's what the Nation of Islam represents.
Brother Ilya, one of the things you stated was that they have paid staff, the United States government has paid staff of scientists who are paid to study prophecy. And I don't think our people believe that, but go ahead and prove that reality, brother, that your government is studying us.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the 50s made it very clear that the white man of America, this government, literally do have paid staff of scientists whose job is really to study the problems of prophecy. Now, by having scientists study prophecy, it is not like studying typical religion. These are not people who are preachers studying prophecy. No, these are people who understand science, who understand the likelihood of prophecy taking place, the likelihood and probabilities of certain prophetic conditions being met. So they look at it with a scientific eye, and those scientists are well aware of God's coming. They are well aware of God's judgment, and they are well aware of their doom of what they've done. And this is why even some of the founding fathers like Thomas Jefferson stated, he said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." So you don't have to be a superb genius to know that God would eventually intervene in our affairs.
Right.
You know, the leaders knew it then, they know it now. So these are scientists who are hired by different government and military apparatus to study the likelihood of prophecy taking place. And their job is to try to fight God to keep these prophecies from being fulfilled.
Good God Almighty.
This is why you have people like Reagan, President Reagan,
yes,
who set up the Strategic Defense Initiative, also known as Star Wars,
yeah,
because they were trying to go to war with these wheels in the sky.
Right.
You have President Trump talking about Space Force and, again, setting up a military branch whose job is to specialize in combating and fighting for America in space.
Right.
So all of these are the result of those scientists who know something about the likelihood of prophecy taking place.
Now, that brings us to today, 2024. The government is now having Senate hearings. They're admitting that these wheels exist. And the question is, why now? What do they know that they see on the horizon? Why are they letting this information out? They haven't let all of it out, but they're seeing something, Brother Ilya.
The only reason that the government is admitting that these wheels exist is really in an effort to mislead the American public from the greater truth about these wheels, these so-called UFOs or UAPs.
Right.
I mentioned at Mas Mariam that if the government just now admitting that these wheels and these crafts exist, that automatically presupposes that they have been straight up lying for the past 80 years.
Right, right.
You don't just come after 80 years of us and trying to silence us from this truth, and now all of a sudden you're going to admit that these crafts are real. No, their purpose and motive behind it is to admit just a little bit of truth in order to mislead the people away from the greater truth. And that greater truth is the fact that those crafts, those wheels, bear witness to that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan have been right and exact the whole time.
That's right.
God is indeed present.
That's right. Walking right into the book, brother. And when you go into the book of Ezekiel, because you beautifully laid out September 17th, 1985, when the minister had his wheel-like experience, and you verified that, and you told us to look in the New Living Translation of the Bible, is Ezekiel 8, 1 through 3. Can you go into that for us too, brother?
To try to make that shortly too, and there you go, brother.
And I'm sorry. Hey, I love it when you talk about it, brother. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Brother BJ asking these scholarly questions that they're afraid to ask these questions in seminary schools and in theological circles.
Right.
So I do appreciate you. To make a long story short, the 8th chapter of Ezekiel gives a prophetic glimpse as to an experience that takes place with one of God's dear servants. This experience is when God's servant is taken up in the spirit. Mm. He literally has a vision-like experience, and he is taken up into the presence of God. And the 8th chapter of Ezekiel, again, gives those funny dates on the 6th month and the 5th day and all of this type of stuff. And when we look again at the calculations, not just that what we came up with, but what the biblical scholars deduced.
Yes.
And they deduced that the dates suggested for the time when this vision-like experience would take place with God's servant, based on Ezekiel 8, would take place on September 17th.
Mm.
And I think it's more interesting the fact that the New Living Translation of the Bible that calculated that Bible translation did not come out until around 1986.
Wow.
1996, I'm sorry,
okay.
Which is 11 years after the experience of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan that took place on September 17th, 1985. This is just further confirmation of the revelation.
Wow, brother. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, Brother Eliab. I'm going to be vulnerable when I ask this question, brother. I've always thought that the movie industry tried to make mockery of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has a small physique. He used to wear these black, dark shades. And of course, he has a beautiful, small, round face. I've always thought that they tried to embellish his likeness as an alien, because they used to have those big, dark eyes. And I said, are they trying to mock him in plain sight? Am I off on that, brother?
I wouldn't doubt that one bit. In our book, UFOs and the Nation of Islam, we highlight where some of these fictitious stories come from. And you didn't even hear about these grays and green aliens with the big eyes and big heads and skinny bodies. That didn't even become associated with these planes until the 1950s.
Wow.
After they arrested the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, mm-hmm, and locked him up,
yes,
so that they could forward their misinformation campaign. We further highlighted in our research in the book UFOs and the Nation of Islam where they got some of their ideas for these aliens from. And the ideas of these aliens are many of which stem from the fictional storyteller H.G. Wells in the late 1800s and early 1900s. He wrote different short stories, fictional short stories like Man in the Year Million and these other ones about the man in the moon and things like that, where he described these people, these futuristic humans, as being stunted with big heads and gray skin and big black eyes. You see?
Yeah.
These are fictitious stories written by a fictional writer, H.G. Wells. And so in the 50s when they had to come up with an alternative to keep the people from knowing the truth about these wheels, the truth about the occupants, and the truth about the people and the God behind them. Mm. They came up with a alternative from H.G. Wells' depiction and made up some damn aliens.
Right.
And gave the people some aliens.
Yeah.
Some made up aliens to say this is who's behind these flying saucers.
So Brother Ilya, you know, you think about it, how we grew up and we're looking at Star Trek, right? You're looking at Star Wars, and that's all from us. They making movies about us.
That's science fiction. They take the basis of what we were already teaching, and of course they just fictionalize it some more and profit off of it to become science fiction. Yep.
Brother Ilya Rashad, we're talking about the documentary Answered, which is going to be in Washington, D.C. on May the 25th, that weekend. And we definitely want you to be a part of it. 3160 Pennsylvania Avenue, Moss number 4, Southeast Washington, D.C. And he's going to be going deeper into this because he does have the answers. The Nation of Islam has the answers to this question that has confounded all the people of the world. And if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the research team was ever given a platform to speak to the world about this, what do you think would happen, Brother Ilya?
Well, what would happen, and we can see signs of what would happen based on the responses that we see when we are blessed to visit these different cities with the screening of our documentary. We see a little bit of what would happen when we are blessed to present this truth in the different cities. And that response is that the people are enlightened and know the truth and become confident in the truth when they know the truth behind what's behind these crafts, what's behind these so-called UFOs. And when we learn that it's the result of a God who is on our side, that changes the whole psyche of the black man instantly. So it is this truth. I can understand why this has been placed above top secret.
Right.
I understand why the truth about these crafts is one of the highest priorities of America's national security. Or keeping the truth away from the people is part of America's national security. So when the people know this truth, they would have to bear witness that the Nation of Islam has been right and exact the whole time. When the people know the truth about the UFO phenomena, they have no other alternative other than to conclude to the fact that this man, Master Fathered Muhammad, must be the supreme being.
Go ahead. Beautiful, beautiful.
That's what they're afraid of.
That's right. And also the pilots, who's piloting these craft. I mean, just talk about that before we end this discussion, because our people need to know that this ain't no those spooky people up there with horns and, you know, a trunk for a nose, you know what I'm saying? Driving these ships, brother. Talk about that.
That's that Hollywood stuff.
Right.
Well, much to the people's surprise, when people do learn the truth about these crafts and the occupants thereof, they're shocked to learn that these occupants are not aliens. These are not some extraterrestrials, as Hollywood has misled them to believe. These are not Martians. Not Marvin the Martian that we grew up watching.
Right.
Y'all remember Marvin the Martian with the, what he called it, the Q-36 modulator.
Yeah, you
it's
got
none
it.
Of that. Instead, the occupants and those who control these crafts are human beings. They are people from this earth. Mm. They just so happen to be people who have been taught and trained since very young ages, somewhere between 4 and 6.
Wow.
To do these special jobs. These are people, they look just like us, but they have capabilities, that exceeds far beyond your average human being. These are people who control these crafts, who are fluent in the science of what we call tuning in, also known as telepathy and telekinesis. These are people who have been taught and trained under the tutelage of Almighty God Allah himself. They are human beings, yes. But they are human beings also referred to as scientists or angels.
Yes.
So these angels that we read about in the scriptures, these are not some fictitious apparitions that float somewhere. No, these are human beings. They're just human beings of extraordinary capabilities. And most important is to know that these human beings are your family.
Yes, sir.
They belong to you.
Right.
The original people of the planet Earth. And yes, they are on your side.
Beautiful. Brother Ellie, I had one of my friends from college told me about an experience he had with the wheel, the mother wheel. And that was at Livingstone College. And he said he saw it in the sky. And he didn't know what it was until I told him. And he said, brother, that was it. It was like a football field in the sky over my head. And there have been some people who have experienced this, but they don't know how to maybe articulate it. But for somebody listening to us right now that has actually had this experience, an intimate experience, what would you say to them?
You know, their experience, even though I'm certain it's very important, at the same time, it's not unique.
Hmm.
And I say it's not unique in the sense that there have been so many countless people throughout this earth, countless millions, who have seen and experienced these crafts too, and have even seen the mother plane and experienced it.
Right.
But the problem is that those experiences don't get put across the 5 o'clock news. You don't see or hear about these experiences coming down your timeline on your social media pages because, again, it is above top secret. But those experiences are somewhat common. And there are hundreds of millions of people that have seen these crafts.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's a hell of a lot,
that
man.
Sure is. Yes, sir.
Let's be real.
Yes.
That's one heck of a lot. So we're not unique in that sense. However, we should consider it a blessing that we see the confirmation of what was already taught to us anyway. And so for those who are not familiar with the Nation of Islam, I would implore you to familiarize yourself very quick because those crafts are represented by the Nation of Islam. And if you want the truth about them, the source behind them, don't go to the government expecting them to disclose the truth. You get that truth directly from the source, the Nation of Islam.
One last question, Brother Eliad, before you go. I got to ask you this, brother. How has this experience of doing this research increased your faith in what we've been taught?
You know, that term faith is described in the Bible. I think it was the Apostle Paul that described it as the evidence of things unseen, the substance of things hoped for, or the substance of things unseen, the evidence of things hoped for. So those key words, substance and evidence, we're at a point today, Brother BJ, where the facts and evidence are so overwhelming that we don't even have to just believe anymore.
Mm.
In fact, we would be foolish if we didn't bear witness to the truth and the facts of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan are representing to us. Because, look, even if you don't believe in God or religion, it still wouldn't matter because the facts are so evident that one would still have to bear witness.
Come on.
That the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan have just been right and exact. So you can't hide under religion. You can't hide under common sense. You can't hide under science. You can't hide under actual facts, because the facts, the science, the history, the scriptures all bear witness that the Nation of Islam has been right and exact. So now it's time that the scholars and leaders stop running from us. And yes, let's talk about this and engage us on this truth.
That's right. And Brother Eliyahu, men who can speak this truth boldly in the public space, brother, are a different breed of men. Because when you watch and you saw what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said, has done, and continues to say today, and hang back down on nothing he said. This is what's going to free us, brother. This boldness, he said, the minister told us, he said, be bold in Master Farid Muhammad.
That's right.
And I love it, man. I love it. I get chills, but I got chills right now talking to you about this, because this is what we need. Black people, get some courage and tell the truth regardless of circumstances, and watch God show up, because he can't show up in the breastplate of a coward or a punk. That's but, man, right. You keep on teaching, brother, like you teach, man. I'm so happy when I see you, because you so excited about teaching the truth. You enjoy it so much, and I enjoy it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And that's why we are so excited about this tour, man. So I would encourage, if your audience ever have the opportunity, visit us on nationbrothers.com and check out these different tour stops. We're going to be in Atlanta on the weekend of April 27th, we're going to be in Philly and the Delaware Valley, May 3rd through the 4th. We're going to be in Detroit the weekend of May 11th, Milwaukee, May 18th, Greensboro, North Carolina, and Durham on June 1st and 2nd. I'm in St. Louis, June 8th.
Wow.
So visit nationbrothers.com and you can get information on the tour stops if it's coming near your city, and stay connected so that we can make sure when we release the documentary for streaming that you will have direct access to it, and you can see why people are changing their lives all over the country when they watch this documentary.
That's awesome, brother. And make sure you stop in D.C. as well on the 25th, that weekend. May 25th, 3160 Pennsylvania Avenue, Southeast Washington, D.C., the mighty, mighty regional headquarters of the Mid-Atlantic region. And our wonderful, powerful, bold minister, Brother Kadir.
Oh, yeah.
And the staff, Brother Aaron, Sister Sadika, Sister Brenda, and the whole staff, brother. They're wonderful, and they want to host you so you can get access to this information. Thank you, Brother Eliyahu, for spending this time with us today, brother.
Excellent. Thank you. Anytime, big brother.
And for more information about Brother Eliyahu's appearance in Washington, D.C. at Mosque number 4, call 202-506-6940. That is 202-506-6940. Assalamu alaikum.